The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Thank you for being a part of the program. We are now 2 hours in. A very interesting first hour with Mel Kiper Jr., the draft, of course. And then Bruce Feldman doing double duty, talking about the draft, of course, as well. And a fascinating piece he did for The Athletic on how Eli Drinkwitz has hired his staff. A little bit later on, Scott Rabelais, bottom of the hour, some breaking news out of USA Today about another lawsuit filed against the university and individuals. We'll have that story, as well as the hiring of Kim Mulkey over the weekend, the Baylor three-time national champ. And final hour, Bill Hancock, the chairman of the College Football Playoff, will join us. Tomorrow, a reminder, Nick Saban will be here on the 10-year anniversary of the devastating tornado in Tuscaloosa. And then Wednesday, Kirby Smart, wrapping up the spring and looking ahead to next season. We'll take your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. And let's check out Tom, who is up next. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great.
I played football in high school and tennis in college.
Mm-hmm.
My son played tennis in high school. My daughter played tennis in high school. My grandson plays for Columbia High School in Huntsville.
Right.
I've been real sports all my life. I've coached sports. I've played sports. I was ranked number 8 in tennis, number 5 in table tennis. I've won 2 table tennis championships in my life. My question to you today, have you ever raced a slot car?
A slot car?
Yeah.
Yes, I believe when I was younger, I did.
Yeah, we used to have 3 slot car tracks in Huntsville, and one of them was the Purple Mile. Did you ever race the Purple Mile?
No.
It was a real long track.
I've been to BIR, and remember BIR in Birmingham?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to go out there a lot.
Yeah, the slot car was a lot of fun.
Well, no doubt. Well, Tom, thanks so much for sharing that with us. Bill is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Bill. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there. How are you?
Hey, Bill Lumpkin.
Oh, my goodness.
How are you doing?
Bill, I'm doing really well. Thanks so much for how's everybody doing?
They're good. I wanted to call and just, the tributes and all the people that have called and the stories have been phenomenal. And to say thank you. And, today would have been my mom and dad's 69th anniversary.
Oh, my
goodness.
So
it's got to be a tough day for her. But, I just wanted to say thank you. And you were talking about the playoff. I wanted to tell you a story and a couple of stories if I got the chance.
Yeah, and Bill, just give me 1 second to make sure people understand.
Sure.
This is Bill Lumpkin's son. And Bill, of course, was my boss at the Birmingham Post-Herald, and he passed away a couple weeks ago. And Bill, before you even get to the playoffs, I can't tell you I'm sure you were busy, but we had so many poignant memories of your dad on this program from people that knew him well and people who grew up reading him. It was truly extraordinary, and
It was phenomenal. I found out he kept everything. There was even a drawer. Somebody was in there about the Sky Riders. It had
right.
all the pictures of the people from the Sky Riders. Had pictures of y'all when y'all were sitting in the courtroom and when y'all's trials. All kind of. He kept everything.
Well, I think it was probably the trial where I got the most shook up because I was not kidding when I said it, and you know how serious that situation was, but. But your dad is the reason that I'm still sitting here, because had that thing gone the way it looked like it was going, I would have been kaput, and I wouldn't have had a road back either.
There was a funny story that somebody was talking about the 92 Sugar Bowl. me and my dad ended up getting 13 tickets through Paul Manasseh, the late Paul Manasseh.
Oh, yeah.
We were in the elevator with you, and I had my ex-father-in-law at the time, he'd played football at Arkansas with Barry Switzer. And his daughters are still the closest daughters, Laura Barnett and Paige Marino. They're two of the closest to my heart. But we were in the elevator, and my mother introduced you to my niece, which was my dad's granddaughter at the time. She's about four. She said, "This is your granddaddy's friend, Paul." And you looked there and goes, "That's my only friend."
You know, I'm pretty sure I drove back with your dad the next day. I probably, all the times that we had a good time. I mean, the times that we traveled together, man, did I learn? I learned about bourbon, which I did not know very much about. And let me see if I can still remember what I woke up. We were sharing a room one night in Huntsville, Alabama. We were up there all summer, as you know. And about 3 a.m, I looked over, and there's Bill Lumpkin, my boss, and by the way, my career is literally hanging by a thread. And he's in one of those old, you don't see them much anymore, but everybody's granddad wore them, the sleeveless undershirts. And his shorts. He's smoking a cigarette. And let me make sure, if I get this wrong, I'm sorry. And I'm pretty sure he was sipping out of an Old Forester bottle of bourbon.
Yeah. He drank Old Forester, Old Crow, and Kentucky Gentleman. Okay. I used to go to the liquor store for him, and they knew me by name because I'd go pick it up, and they're like, "Oh, you're the one that wants the Old Crow and the Kentucky Gentleman, right?" And I was like, "Yep, that's the one." I told him, I said, "Maybe the longevity to your 92 years is drinking the rot gut bourbon."
I mean, for those who are wondering if this was yesterday, we're talking about 39 years ago here.
Yeah, but somebody called about Pat Sullivan last week, and my mother, we were talking the story, when he won the Heisman, it's not the to-do that it is now. They just called and told you had won. And Pat only wanted one rider, and it was my dad. They had a tux. Well, he splits his pants, and he's got red underwear on. And so he had to take his pants off, and Pat Sullivan's mother stitches his pants up so he can get ready for the Heisman. And I was telling somebody, I was like, I've never heard of anybody say an unkind word about Pat Sullivan. It's one of my dad's things, him and Johnny Musso. But last week when all this, I talked to Coach Stallings, I talked to Coach Bowden, I talked to Tommy Bowden, I talked to Johnny Musso, talked to Major Ogilvy. I mean, it was just like I talked to so many people. It was phenomenal. Bob Lockamy was such a help. He called me, I don't know how many, every time, every day. Ben Thomas wrote a fantastic article on AL.com. And it was phenomenal. But I was telling you about the playoff. My best friend, Ken Williams, it's funny, I got married in 2017, and the girl I married, Lori, we went to high school together, but we didn't know each other. And we met at a funeral, got engaged at the Alabama-Southern Cal game in Dallas in 2016, then got married by Elvis in Las Vegas.
Oh, my goodness.
She's been so good because I've lived with mother and dad for 11 years, and while we've married, I stay with them 4 or 5 days and then stay with her on the weekend, kind of the happy marriage. But in 2019, when Alabama played Clemson in California, Ken, his wife Gina, sister Rhonda, is married to Dr. Mark Keenum.
Oh, my goodness.
And so Dr. Keenum takes me and Ken out to lunch when we're out there for the playoff. We went down in San Francisco to the Wharf. So I'm sitting next to him, and he's talking about expanding the playoff. And I said, "Can I put my 2 cents in?" He goes, "Yeah, I'd love to hear it."
And by the way, Bill, Dr. Keenum, who's the president of Mississippi State, at the time, right, he may still be. He's the chairman of the College Football Playoff Foundation. I mean, he's like where it happens.
Yeah, I had a good ear. So I told him, I said, "Now, this is my point of view. I have Alabama season tickets." And I said, "This year," I said, "I went to the SEC championship game 3 weeks before Christmas. I went to Miami New Year's. And then I said, I came out here where tickets are $800 a piece." I said, "If you count those three games, I probably spent with two people $10,000. And I said, "Now you're wanting to add another game?" I said, "If you add another game, you've priced the average fan out of going to these games." And he looked at me and goes, "You know what? You are the first one that has ever mentioned that to me about fans." I was like, that's because nobody cares. We're the ones spending all the money, and you're going to fix the prices out of it. And I was like, I'm just coming out here for the championship game to California, that's $1,600 for two tickets, then flights, then hotels, then meals. And I said, after we've already gone to a semifinal and a championship game, I mean, you just can't – the average guy doesn't have that kind of money. And he was like, you're right. Yeah, nobody ever mentions the fans.
Well, yeah, and it's a really good point, Bill, which is one reason why I think you have to begin the playoffs if you expand it on campuses. You can't put fans through that neutral site nonsense
anymore.
You're
still going to have to pay for the ticket, and now tickets have gotten – I mean, even the regular season tickets are, you know, Alabama-LSU, I think this year, Alabama-Auburn, 150. You're talking about 300 for a pair of tickets, and then you got to go down there. It's just getting ridiculous for the price. And but I have to tell you one more story if I have a chance.
Bill, I can listen to stories coming from your house the rest of my life.
But I have to tell you this one, because my friend Rocky Newman, we went to Inslee together, and he claims that instead of my dad following my dad's footsteps, it's because of him. When I got to Inslee, I was already writing some for the Post-Herald, but I was keeping stats and calling in the games. Well, they wanted to make me the trainer. And I was like, okay, I'll be the trainer. Well, Larry McReynolds of NASCAR fame, he was the head trainer. And Jim Case, who's a Hall of Fame baseball coach at Jacksonville State, he was our quarterback. So we had a few names there. Back then, if you got hurt, you know, we just busted that ammonia cap under your nose and you went right back into the game. And, it wasn't a big deal, but I didn't know anything about training. So my buddy Rocky Newman, they bring him in there and they tell me to put him in the hot tub. So I turn this hot tub up as hot as you could get. It's like 140 degrees. I stick him in there, and I was like, I didn't think anything about it. About an hour later, he goes, can I get out of this? I mean, he's red as a lobster. And I was like, yeah, I guess so. And he looked at me, and he says, I guess I've got to get you back for that one day. Then the next guy comes in, and he says, I got to have tape on my ankle. So I was like, well, you got to shave their ankle. So I start shaving it, nothing happens. So I bear down a little more, nothing happens. So I finally bear down, and I get the ankle shaved. I look in there's no blade in the razor. And it's my friend Sterling Dale. I saw him at my reunion. I said, how's that ankle? He goes, still as smooth as a baby's butt. There ain't never been a hair grow back on it.
You did write for. I remember. No. Your older sister Kathy was a sports writer for a long time, wasn't she?
Yeah, you know they did a story about the three of us, and the two of us following in Dad's footsteps and what it was like. And you know, he used to tell me when he first started out. You know, he worked for Naylor Stone,
right?
And he said Naylor always told him he shouldn't have gone by Bill. Everybody's known by Bill. So when I came around, he goes, you know, maybe you should think of, you know, our middle name's Ivan. He goes, maybe you should go by that. There's not too many Ivans. But by that time, I'd already started writing. But he was like, you know, that's how you got noticed. But it was, you know, when all this happened, I had so many calls from people that worked for my dad. You know, Richard Scott called, Reuben Grant, Ray Mellick, Don Kowsler, Philip Marshall. But when Philip called, I was telling him, I was like, you know, it's crazy. We've had to follow in some huge footsteps. And it wasn't always easy to do.
Philip's dad was the lead columnist at the Birmingham News. Sure, legendary figure too.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And, you know, when I called to Coach Stallings, I was like, how are you doing, Coach? He's like, well, I'm 86. He goes, I've had two strokes and a heart attack, but I'm working the farm and fix to go fishing, so I guess I'm pretty good.
Well,
and when I talked to Coach Bowden, he's 91. I said, how you doing?
Amazing.
He goes, well, I try to walk about three times a day.
Yeah. Well, you're, I mean, the one thing that I'll say, and I never learned, I tried to learn as much as I could from your dad, but I never quite learned the ability to become friendly with these characters. And you know, one thing about Bill Lumpkin, it didn't bother him. He could have been very close friends with you, but he still was going to give his opinion objectively and yeah. fairly, and sometimes harshly.
I told some people back in when I was still in high school, and I was covering games for him. And you know, he didn't work on Friday nights a lot because he was traveling for the game.
Right.
So he wasn't up there. So the paper was a zoo. I loved going up there on Friday night. They were all playing and having a good time. But if he was working, I hated him to answer the phone because he would always ask me something like, "Who got that fumble?" And I'd be like, "I don't know who got that fumble." But it made me learn later in life, you better know everything about that game because somebody's going to ask you. It taught me such valuable lessons, you know, at such an early age that you better know everything. If you don't know, go ask the coach.
Well, Bill, I'll say this in conclusion that they're telling me to go to a break. But when I showed up there, I thought I knew everything at the age of 22, and I found out very quickly I didn't know anything. And you know, once I calmed down, I learned from your dad, and it completely changed my career because. You know, another guy would have just said, you know, go somewhere else and learn how to deal with people. But he had such a way about him, and I can't thank you enough for calling again, Bill.
Okay.
And,
if I have 2 seconds, just let me say, there's a couple of people I really wanted to thank. They're having birthdays. We have a little Inslee group that gets together. Kathy Moore's having a birthday, and Robbie Durrell Davis are having a birthday, and all these people have really been help and support for this view. But I sure thank you.
Bill, thank you, and all the best to your mom and your family, and I do hope to see you soon.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. Bill Lumpkin,
all right.
The third, joining us talking about his late dad, who we will continue to talk about forever. Thank you for that. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and Ryan is up next from Utah. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well.
Hey, first time ever calling in. Hey, I want to know why the SEC won't come out west and play any of the Pac-12 schools out here, the Utah, the Colorados, the Oregons, anybody in the Pac-12.
Well, first of all, you're wrong. Texas A&M came out there a couple of years ago, and LSU is coming out there this year to play UCLA. Tennessee's been to Oregon and to UCLA. And Alabama has played UCLA. Now, I'm talking about in the last 15 or 20 years. I'm not talking about over the course of history. So you have a very flawed argument there, Ryan.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see some Florida, Alabama come out and play like Utah, Colorado, you know, Arizona's.
Ryan, I don't mean to be disrespectful because you sound like a perfectly nice man, but you know, when your league becomes relevant again, maybe you'll see some more activity.
All right. Well, I appreciate your insight.
Well, thank you for calling. And you have a wonderful day out there in Utah. Mike is up next. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Paul. Can you hear me?
I can. I sure can.
Well, I got a question or a suggestion. If the leagues are so important in the playoff, take the top four teams and top four leagues, have the playoff. Whoever ends up number four, their league is relegated. Next league up for next year. Give you writers a lot to write about.
Well, that is true. It sure would. it's a good suggestion. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Chris, who is in Missouri. Hello, Chris. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Love
Thank you.
Show.
Appreciate it.
I'm Columbia, Missouri. I'm a Tiger fan, obviously. Question is this. Mizzou just went from the MAC to the Big 12 in wrestling only, because there's no wrestling in the SEC.
No.
Do you know why that is? It's popular here in other places. The SEC excels in everything it does. I think people would like it.
Well, Chris, first of all, there was a time when there was wrestling. I remember when I was in college, there was wrestling. I don't remember the year that it went away. I know there are, as Title IX has become, Title IX has been here since the early 70s, but you do have to have an equal number, and I'm sure it's a balancing act, and I'm sure that, the SEC does equestrian. They don't do, lacrosse size, there's a lot of sports that you could see, but with every sport that you get, it is expensive. You still have to travel in the SEC. It is not a revenue producing sport, so you have to factor that in.
Yeah. So in other words, it's the old adage, the answer to your question again is money.
Well, I would say, I don't know if I would go back to Cain and Abel, but maybe the day after, that seems to be like it's the answer to pretty much everything.
Yeah. Okay, Paul, thanks for taking my call. Yeah. Love the show. We'll see you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Missouri is very, we had quite a few calls about that the other day, and that's my best guess. The next time I talk to someone in the conference, I will see if I can get you a better answer. But thanks for the call. We are going to hit the break here because Scott Rabelais is right around the corner. I mentioned Bill Hancock in the final hour talking about the college football playoff. Right now, we will go to the break before we talk to Scott and talk to you again in just a few minutes. Scott.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. This is a tweet from Scott Rabelais. LSU just made the hire official, the most impressive hire ever for LSU in any sport. No one has ever had Kim Mulkey's resume coming in, not even close, not even Saban. Scott Rabelais is outside the press conference. It's about to begin. Scott, thank you very much, and you're right. Three national championships, that's hard to top. A lot of folks have done well. So as we say hello to you, tell us about the hire and about the buzz in that town.
Yeah, Paul, good to be with you again. They shot for the moon, and they got, I think, the one person they wanted. Scott Woodward, the athletic director, had built a reputation as being able to land big targets. He was at Washington when he got Chris Peterson to come from Boise State to coach football, when people said you couldn't get him out of Boise State. He got Jimbo Fisher to leave Florida State for Texas A&M. Got Buzz Peterson to leave Virginia Tech, coach men's basketball at A&M. So this is a hire in that vein. It's his biggest hire in his first 2 years here at LSU. And the buzz is just kind of, I think, shock and awe a little bit, among LSU fans. The women's basketball program hasn't had a rabid following over the years, but it's been better than it's been recently. And I think, but there's an expectation that they're going to be good, kind of like with the track program. There's an expectation that they're going to be good, and they haven't been good for a while. Those five Final Four banners that hang from the catwalk in the Pete Maravich Assembly Center have been kind of tripping up this program, I think, for a few years. But I think the hope and expectation is that they will get back into a contending form relatively quickly under a coach like Kim Mulkey, who, as you may have mentioned, is going into the Naismith Hall of Fame next month.
And let's talk about Coach Mulkey, because she has a history of not only in that state, but her son played baseball at LSU. Was that the lure, or is Scott Woodward just a great salesman?
Yeah, she's from Tickfaw, Louisiana, which is about 45 minutes east of Baton Rouge. She was a star at Hammond High School. They won a state title all 4 years she was at Hammond. Then she went to Louisiana Tech, where they won two national titles, and she was an assistant coach there. And then she went to Baylor in 2000. I think the lure was home. I think the fact that her son Kramer played shortstop for LSU for 4 years and had a good experience. They made it all the way to the College World Series final his senior year in 2017, and she was a fixture at a lot of those games here and in Omaha. I think those were factors. But it's the fact that it's home, and this has always been home. She, as someone close to her told me, she put down roots in Waco in 21 years there, but this is where her heart always was, in Louisiana. And I think she had some interest in the job. She at least would have talked to LSU when they hired Nikki Fargus 10 years ago, but they didn't really pursue her. And when they expressed their interest, the feeling was mutual. And I don't think she was dissatisfied at Baylor. Obviously, she had things going very well at Baylor, you know, overall. I mean, maybe things get a little bit stale after that long anywhere for any coach. But I think she liked the challenge. And no one has – only one coach, men's and women's basketball, has won national titles at two different schools. That was Rick Pitino. And, of course, that title was vacated at Louisville. No one's ever done it in women's basketball. She has a chance, and I'm sure she's thinking in those terms of trying to do something that no one's ever done in her sport. And win titles at two different schools, and I think that will be her expectation and that of LSU fans going forward.
Talking to Scott Rabelais, the columnist from The Advocate. Scott, a couple other items I do want to ask you about before we get off the field. Spring drills are over now. What's your feeling? What's your takeaway from how things went on the field?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
I think, you know, obviously installation of or reinstallation of this is the Joe Brady offense 2.0 that LSU now is going to be operating under with Jake Pete, who worked under Brady with the Carolina Panthers last season. Coach Orgeron said he saw what he wanted to see in the elements of that offense. Still some work to do. They had a lot of injuries with the running back position in the spring, so I don't think they fully implemented everything that they want to see in that offense. Of course, a new defensive coordinator here as well, Durante Jones. They at least look, you know, it's hard to tell from spring ball or a spring game, but they at least look more organized, more aggressive on defense. And yeah, they've got some good pieces, Paul. I mean, they have 19 returning starters. For all the many starters they lost last year, and this time last year we're talking about all the guys they had going into the NFL draft. This year they only returned a handful of starters. This year they have a lot coming back. So I think the expectation is guardedly optimistic at LSU for football this year. Still got to decide who's going to be the starting quarterback. Miles Brennan says he feels 100% coming back from that abdominal muscle injury, but Max Johnson has gotten a lot of play. Has gotten a lot of mileage, with the ones and started the spring game. So I think that battle continues on into the fall. And you expect Brennan to get the job back, but it's not a given. Just so you remember how well Max played in the win at Florida and the win against Ole Miss to end the season.
Scott Rabelais with us. And Scott, I know it's a great day down there, and I think any legitimate college sports fan is excited when someone of Kim Mulkey comes into not only the school but the conference. But there is another story, as I'm sure you're well aware of, and let me make sure the audience is aware of it as well. Seven women today filed a federal class action lawsuit against LSU. Its leadership, athletic fundraising arm and several top administrators alleging they conspired to cover up the women's reports of sexual misconduct and dating violence, discriminated against female students, and deprived them of their rights. The women include three former LSU tennis players, two former football recruiting office students, and a former student and current student. I realize we will hear from officials in a few minutes, but you've been watching this story off the field. What is your reaction to that?
Well, it just continues to unfold. I mean, this is a long, slow-rolling kind of, disaster for LSU, quite honestly. It has been going on for several months, going back to the first USA Today reports that came out in November that led to the investigation of the LSU hiring Hush Blackwell, independent law firm, to do a report. They found a lot of things, including all the allegations that about Les Miles that led to his ouster at Kansas and led to the former LSU president's ouster at Oregon State. And it just continues. I mean, this doesn't surprise me. As you see a lot of times in these cases, women come forward, and then it emboldens more victims, more people to come forward. And there's another lawsuit, Sharon Lewis, who is a high-ranking administrator in the LSU football program. She filed a $50 million lawsuit earlier this month, I believe it was, against LSU. Similar thing. She was harassed, and she didn't feel like she was listened to, and all this stuff. So this is going to continue at LSU for a long time. And obviously the Kim Mulkey, this is a spot of good news. And that LSU can say, hey, we're bringing someone of her caliber in amidst these things. Look at our commitment to women's athletics and women's basketball. But the flip side is this other situation, not just for athletics, but the entire university has a long way to go. And LSU has a lot to deal with that it's going to go on for months, if not years.
Scott, I realize what happens off the field sometimes, but not always, affects what happens on the field. Is there any reason to believe that these conversations and this litigation will get anywhere near the door of the football office in terms of how they manage their day-to-day operation?
I mean, anything's possible. Obviously, you're also watching, concurrently, the whole NCAA situation with Will Wade. Is there going to be, when and if there's going to be, a notice of allegations against him and LSU men's basketball? So that's something they'll have to deal with at that time. No one knows when that could come. Yes, I mean, a lot of these things have been gone. Like, there's been a culture of covering up and sweeping things under the rug like this throughout the whole university, and the Hush Blackwell report mentioned things involving 10 players who play here just under Ed Orgeron since 2016, and not to mention all the stuff with Les Miles and the young women who were working in, who he's alleged to sexually harassed when they were working in the football program. So yes, I mean it could continue to mushroom. And, I think at this point, you feel like Ed Orgeron himself is pretty safe and is pretty well established, and they're recruiting well. They're hoping to bounce back this season, but at the same time, it's a fluid situation, and this new lawsuit just illustrates that. If more things could come to light, and it could create an untenable situation for him or for other people in the athletic department. So it's far from over, and it's hard to exactly predict where the next mushroom cloud will come up, but you can probably expect there are more to come, and they may land at the door of the football office quite possibly.
Scott Rabelais, we better let you get to the press conference. It's about to begin at the top of the hour. Kim Mulkey being introduced, the three-time national champion. Scott, many thanks for dropping by. We always appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. Take care.
Thank you very much. Scott Rabelais from Baton Rouge, an exciting day down there, to say the least. We'll get your reaction to all of this and Bill Hancock in about 15 minutes, right after we take time out.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Bill is up next. Hey, Bill, thanks for the call. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Bill, we're doing well. Thank you very much.
It's still, but that's okay.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
It's an honor to talk to you. Man, Bill Lumpkin Jr. made my day, buddy.
He was great, wasn't he?
Oh, man, when you said the name or he said his name, I'm like jumping up, turning up my volume and going, I thought it was the original, his dad. I tell you what, if it was the Journalistic Hall of Fame in Alabama, Bill Lumpkin would have been one of the first ones to get in.
Now, you're right.
He was a great lead. I got two more names to throw at you. Three more, actually.
Okay.
Al Fanhoos, Clyde Bolton, and Paul Feinbaum.
You know, Phil, you were on an incredible roll with Bill Lumpkin, Al Fanhoos, Clyde Bolton, but then you blew it all with that last one. Yeah.
Oh, no way, man. You know, this is your home down here, Sweet Home Alabama. We love you, man.
Thank you. Let me say something about both Alf and Clyde. They were two phenomenal and extraordinarily influential journalists. Al Fanhoos was a really dear man. He gave me a ride once because my car was in the shop. And the stories that he told were priceless, the people that he had met. And Clyde was just one of the funniest and best writers. Clyde not only wrote newspaper articles, he wrote countless novels and books. Those three are legendary figures in Alabama journalism.
Were the other two your mentors besides Bill?
Well, Bill certainly was the most influential. People have had big impacts on me since that. But at that time in my life, I can assure you, I needed a father figure and an influence in the worst possible way. I was a wreck. I was a young reporter out of control, and Bill really saved me.
That's hard to imagine.
Well, you didn't know me back then. And Phil, I don't mean in the sense that I was. I'm talking about from an attitudinal standpoint. I was a young guy, and I was really full of it, and I needed an older person to say, hey, this is the way it's done, not the way you imagined it or read about it in some book or in some movie.
Right. Didn't you love it when Al Fanhoos would empty out the notebook?
Oh, yeah.
That would be one of my favorites.
He would just go dot, dot, dot. And, I don't think I really appreciated the genius of all those guys until much later. I did with Bill because I was with him all the time. But, you're talking about those three guys right there are Mount Rushmore material, without a doubt.
Yes, big time. And my favorite article by you, I don't know if you remember it, I bet you do, mm-hmm. but The Tradition Topples the Trash.
Oh, yeah, that was when Alabama beat Miami for the national championship.
Yes. Oh, what a great read that was.
Yeah.
I mean, you four guys was the ones I was turning the sports page, to read their articles.
Well, I don't think you know how much that means to those of us who don't really do it anymore, but remember those days as the glory days.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You was a must-read. I mean, all them guys were. No wonder you're as good as you are with the guys you had that you learned from.
No, they were some tremendous influences, Phil, and I think I think young people need that, whether it's a parental influence or once you begin your career. I think it's so critical to have a mentor who understands who you are and your age and the fact that you've got all that energy and desire. But you need someone, and I needed it, Phil, someone like Bill, to say, hey, listen, you better be careful here or you're going to self-destruct. Hey, thank you very much. We're coming right back.